Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. I'm your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this afternoon, our fearless producer, Ryan Red Hawk McPherson. How are you, buddy?
Fantastic. Another wonderful Wednesday here and ready for an exciting episode of High Velocity Radio.
Well, as our listeners know, all of our program is gluten-free, dolphin-safe, and for the most part, commercial-free, but we do have an announcement we want to make about this Business Writers Mixer coming up.
Yeah, let me tell you about that. Business Writers Exchange and Business Radio X join forces to bring an innovative business author networking event to Atlanta. You can register today by going to Google and just Google Business Writers Mixer or email Stone directly at stone@businessradiox.com. We're going to be out there at the Concourse Athletic Hub in Sandy Springs from 5:30 to 8 p.m. on September 1st. So make sure you sign up there today. We'll have some of our past guests out there, as well as some of the folks you interviewed at the Business Writers Conference you were at recently.
Yeah, and Jack and Patty Phillips are going to be there. And many of our listeners, particularly those who listen to the Learning Insights program, will know Jack and Patty Phillips. They're very well known in the learning and development and the management consulting arena. They're prolific authors. And they plan to be in attendance. And a little side note, I guess it's a little bit of a launch party, too, because we're partnering up on Business Writers Radio, and we've got our first show earlier that day. So that's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, a lot of things for folks to be excited about and look forward to. So make sure you attend the Business Writers Exchange and Business Radio X Network Mixer September 1st.
All right, this is going to be a fantastic segment. A little bit later in the program, we're going to hear from a business writer, speaker, author, Michael Maher, and we're going to learn about his book and about his work. But first up on the High Velocity Radio Show this afternoon, it is my distinct pleasure to welcome to our broadcast with MFG.com, Mr. Chris Mitchell. How are you, man?
Good. Great to be here, Stone. Thank you very much.
Well, we are delighted to have you. It says here on your business card, Chief Marketing Officer. What is a day in the life of a Chief Marketing Officer like for you?
Wow. It's a busy thing. Mostly I just walk around all day and people call me Chief.
I like that.
So that's a lot of fun. But as the Chief Marketing Officer, obviously I'm tasked with helping us find new ways to push the business forward, bring in new users. I get a lot involved in a lot of things besides promotion, also working on ways to make the system more efficient for people to use, more effective. So you talk about high velocity. That's part of what we try to do is to make help people get results they want more quickly.
All right. So MFG.com,
yes, sir.
It's a platform. Tell us about it. What are you out there doing for folks?
Yeah. So what it actually is it's an online marketplace for contract manufacturing. So if someone wants to have parts made, and they could be parts for just about anything. I mean, they could be, let's say it's an engineer with Ford Motor Company and needs to have parts made, a new design. They can go and place an RFQ, a request for quotes, on our marketplace, and they can receive quotes from manufacturers all over the world who are, skilled and capable and have the capacity to make those parts.
And you think it's great. You tell people it's great, but we don't have to take your word for it. We've got someone here in the studio that is using this product/service. Please join us in welcoming to the program, Mr. Daniel Drennan. Tell us a little bit about your experience with this thing, man.
Yeah, thanks, Stone. Daniel Drennan, DeShazo. I'm a project manager there and number one MFG fan. We came to know MFG.com a little bit out of necessity. Last summer, we found ourselves booked in our machine shop, and we had to either utilize some of the machine shops local to our facility and get a little bit bad pricing from them or... take it to a slightly more efficient marketplace, MFG.com. And so I was the champion for this effort, and we had a little bit of hesitation from the get-go, but we took the plunge and we submitted some engineered drawings on there, and we received a call from their customer service team right away, and they made us feel warm and fuzzy, and we've been using it ever since, and we think it is a great tool for us and other manufacturers if you're looking for just a way to smooth out some of the peaks and valleys for your machine shop.
So what was that first conversation like? The first contact with someone on the customer service team?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So what'd you talk about? What was that process like?
So I sent them a drawing, you know, I just visited the website and sent them a drawing and said, hey, I'm looking for some more information. How do I post? And he called me right away, literally 2 minutes later. And, you know, it's good when I have a quick response from a website like that. But he just walked me through the process and helped me upload it, and their engineering team actually found a few mistakes that we had on our drawings and helped us get those corrected.
Nice.
And so we hit send and uploaded it, and we received a number of quotes back right away, and these were, golly, 25%, 30%, 40% lower than some of the machine shops that, you know, we thought were on our team, local to our facility. So we loved it right away. And president came in, laid down the mandate, hey, every subcontract machine part that goes out of this, it's got to go on MFG.com.
So your folks, the default answer is yes, right?
Right?
And then you figure
That's
out how
correct.
To do the work, but you're well equipped and well prepared to do the work. Talk to us a little bit about your infrastructure from that original intake process all the way through beginning to execute the work.
Sure. Just to be clear, so we operate the marketplace. So we don't have any manufacturing facilities of our own. So it's just like any marketplace, there's two sides. There's the buyers, there's mm-hmm. the suppliers. And we basically facilitate the interaction. So like many marketplaces today, a lot of that is built around making a connection with someone that you don't know particularly well, or maybe not at all. So we try to provide a lot of qualitative information on both sides of the house to help people make a good selection of someone sourcing a new supplier. We give them the ability to make a good choice. Not only do they obviously get quotes and they choose based on price, but they can see that supplier's performance in the past with other customers. And we open that up. We open people up to the entire world. It's amazing the diversity of people that come to our platform and source. So we have, have people like Daniel with DeShazo, who's got a very robust operation. And then one thing that's very interesting is we have a lot of inventors and entrepreneurs that come in. So, anyone who's been an entrepreneur has had an idea, and then at some point down the road has begun to think, is this idea really good? I mean, is this too minuscule? Does anyone even care? So an interesting story. We had a company, a guy came in and he had the idea. He had a great idea. I guess he had it. I don't know if he had it at a bar one night or where he had it, but
probably
he decided we needed to have an improvement on can openers. He decided that, either a beer can or a soda can, whatever it was, wasn't quite efficient enough at delivering the drink. And so he had the crazy idea that if he had created a little bit better bottle opener, he could punch two holes in the top of the can and you'd be able to drink the drink more quickly. And so he was an idea guy, but had no idea how to get that produced. He somehow found MFG.com, got some drawings made of this, I guess you'd call it a bottle opener, and sourced it on the platform, figured out the best way to make it at the lowest cost to be able to get it to the market most quickly. And now it's a viable product being sold in 4 different countries. It's available on Amazon. It's called the Snake Bite.
I love it.
Because it has right? two triangles, like almost like a snake's fangs, that you just pop two holes in that beer can or that soda can, and away you go.
Michael's on Amazon right now ordering one. I can see he's excited about it.
So we get all kinds, and that's really what's very fascinating about it, is it really opens the door for entrepreneurs to want to create a product to get it made. And there's no cost for them to use our system. They can come in and source people all over the world at no cost.
Yeah, I've put my brother-in-law, both of my brother-in-laws, onto the website. One of them sourced some shot glasses for a whiskey company called Bird Dog Whiskey. And, they're distributing these things for marketing purposes. And my other brother-in-law is an inventor, or works for a small startup of ATV company, and they source parts for the prototype for their ATV. So it's I'm out there trying to get people to buy in because we like it so much.
So in the early going, was there a kind of a chicken and egg thing in trying to get the platform going? Because you got to have both sides of this equation, right?
Absolutely. And it's an ongoing thing as well. So the company was founded in 1999. And the founder, what he originally did was he was selling CAD CAM software or something like that to manufacturers. So he basically went out and gave all of them a free membership to the marketplace. And then he began going out and speaking to engineers and things like that, trying to recruit customers in. So he sort of created a starter, sort of a kernel of the business at first, and then began to bring in the other side of the equation. But we still have, there's still an ongoing sort of a chicken and egg thing, because as the marketplace grows and as it evolves to encompass other areas of manufacturing, you always have that problem. Someone comes in with something unusual, or manufacturing, believe it or not, is changing. Right? 3D printing is becoming much more popular.
Right.
So it has to evolve. And every time that it evolves, we have to sort of be just a little bit ahead of the curve. Because if someone comes there and wants to source 3D printers, for example, we need to have some 3D printers there waiting for their business. But to get those 3D printers in when we don't have anyone looking for their business is a challenge. So yeah, it's an ongoing thing. But we've been doing it now for 17 years and we've gotten pretty good at it.
Well, I wanted to ask about your backstory, but it seems like the near-term to me is doing this, yeah?
Sure.
You've been doing this for quite some time.
Well, the company has been in operation for years.
Yeah, how about you? What's your backstory?
Oh, well, I was sweeping up the parking lot one day. And
exactly.
Well, I've just been a marketer all of my career, and I've been involved in a lot of startup businesses, a lot of technology companies. Some have succeeded and gone on to be sold. Others didn't go very far. But I've always been a marketer, and actually became associated with MFG about 10 years ago in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Did a little work for them at the time, stepped off to do some other things, and returned to the company last year.
So I want to talk about culture a little bit.
Okay.
Because you've obviously made a tremendous impression on Daniel here with just the way your people are responding to inquiries and needs. And so speak to the recruiting, the development, the training. How do you pull that off? Because it all sounds great. We read about it. But I mean, we don't see it as often as we'd like.
That's a great point. You know, in the internet age, there's so many companies, it's very difficult to get a human being on the telephone. And it's great from the perspective that they try very hard to address their customers' needs, and technology gives us the ability to understand our customers' needs better than we ever could before, and to hopefully give them what they need. But we still believe in old-fashioned customer service. It's just important. Sourcing for manufacturers is a complicated undertaking. Using technology, protecting your intellectual property, understanding the ramifications of where your drawings may go, who may look at them. There's a great deal of complexity that goes with it. So we feel like it's important to be there for our customers and to have a really close relationship with them. And it's not that difficult to do. I mean, again, using technology, we can open so many channels of communication with our customers. And it really, I mean, it means a lot to people.
I didn't think about the trust aspect until you just mentioned relationship and the drawings, but they really have to just trust you a great deal, because they're, in many cases, handing you their life's work, right? Or their greatest ambition. So you have to be able to communicate it and live up to that commitment of trust.
That's absolutely true. So we have a very robust program in place as far as maintaining the security of our data and our systems. We provide the customers with tools where they can control the distribution of their drawings. They can say, these can only go to the United States, or these can only go to the state of Georgia, or I don't care if they go to the whole world, because not everything is protected intellectual property, obviously. Then we give them further tools to be able to manually approve who can see it. So it's an NDA, but a person could say, I want people to sign my NDA, and then before they see my drawings, I want to manually approve them. So they can ask for that. Anyone who wants to view their drawings can say, can sign the NDA, and then they can see a list of those people. Again, going back to the qualitative data about those companies, they can see ratings and those companies' past performance, and decide specifically who to let their drawings be released to. And we've never had a major issue with someone losing. And we talk about a company that makes a bottle opener. That's on the lower end of simplicity. But we also have NASA source parts through our platform all the time, or the U.S. Army. All sorts of Fortune 500 companies use it. So we've been able to address that need effectively.
Well, the other thing that's coming up that has surprised me, and I don't guess it should, but I want to talk it through a little bit, is this focus on relationship. Because I think just initially when I think tech platform, website platform, software as a service, it doesn't automatically bring, you know, visions of you know, hugs and kisses and embracing and relationship. But there is a great deal of energy and attention toward relationship. And it's fundamental to your business, the more I hear you talking.
That's absolutely correct. We like to have an ongoing relationship with our customers. In terms of what we do for our customers, years ago, people would say, well, we're like the Match.com of manufacturing. But I mean, to me, that's just a little kind of cheapens it a little bit. But
decided not to go with that on the promo materials.
But it does work that way because, you know, if someone like DeShazo comes and finds a supplier, well, then MFG is no longer involved in that relationship. Once he has found a supplier he wants to work with, right, then they go their separate way and do what they need to do.
Yeah.
So we don't in any way try to get in the middle of that relationship or try to control that relationship, but we take very seriously our relationship with our customers and our users.
So, Daniel, you're not just a customer, but you're a raving fan.
Yep.
Were you the one that sold this idea internally, or if so, was it initially embraced?
Yeah, it was. I did sell it internally. So I've learned of this website just from a coworker, and we sold it internally, and I am still. You know, DeShazo is a large company it's a small company, actually, large to me, but the smallest business vertical, the automation group, utilizes the platform. The crane manufacturing group does not, and I'm chirping around the water cooler. They stand to gain more than the automation group. So people are still very much hesitant to embrace the website at DeShazo. Only a small group of us have. So I'm fighting that battle, but I think I'm winning. we had a meeting last week, and I was talking to a few of the guys about, you know, hey, send me your part, and I'll put it on there, and we'll do a little test. So I think we got that coming down the pipe. What did he say? Necessity is the mother of invention, right? So we just got a PO from a large aerospace company out in Washington that makes planes, and their due dates are very, very near, and we have a lot of parts to make, and so I think we're going to be posting them soon.
Well, maybe we'll get some help from Michael in his segment on solving this initial challenge, but the point is, I mean, this is new technology, it's a new approach, it's a departure from the established pattern, so internally, it takes some communication, some selling, some persuasion, and I bet you are working all the time to make it easier and easier for a new customer to give this thing a shot. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, we're continually looking for ways to remove barriers. You know, obviously having been in business for 17 years, there's a lot of, you know, the company was built when technology was very primitive.
Right.
And as a business goes along, you know, you end up with legacy software that is not necessarily like productive. So over time, we're continually removing friction points. To make it easier for people. It's an ongoing challenge.
We had a vendor from Texas. His company is called Dell Energy Oil and Gas on the dive. You know, he's found the website, got connected with DeShazo, made some machine parts for us for a automotive company in Lincoln and Alabama. And he stopped by our place Monday, dropped his daughter off at University of Alabama, swing by our office and just for a meet and greet. So they connect us with vendors, and then it's our duty to establish that relationship. And we meet this guy in Texas. There's a guy named Lou Havanich up in New Jersey. He's got a machine shop in his garage. Wife runs the books upstairs. Love Lou. Does a great job for us. They are matchmakers in some respect.
Well, I would think, and I don't pretend to know the first thing about your industry, but it occurs to me that the more you get experience working with this platform, there's probably opportunities to position your work with them as a competitive advantage in the way that you serve your clients and serve your needs. I think I would just go loud and proud, and obviously you're beginning to do that, with the fact, look, this is our way of dealing with these kinds of opportunities and challenges.
Yeah, I mean, my goal personally is to develop a network of vendors that we have come to know over MFG, and I'm going to lock up my invited list to 10 or 12 people, and then I'm going to invite them to participate in this work that we have, and then we'll no doubt we'll utilize each one of them to the maximum extent based on their their value adding services, so wherever their best skill set may be resonant to.
So, Chris, what's next for you? Where are you going to be investing most of your energy over the next, I don't know, six to 12 months?
Yeah, well, what we are, the bigger initiative now, I think, that we're working on is, you know, we've realized that if we want MFG to really explode, we have to really build on the fact that it is a platform. So it's been for a long time focused on, you know, sourcing, placing RFQs and things like that, and finding suppliers. But we feel like, you know, the next level of success comes when you look at, if you take as a model, you take something like Twitter or Facebook, those sorts of businesses. You know, Facebook didn't grow from just doing really great marketing that made everyone want to go use Facebook. They did it because they structured their platform in such a way that people were bringing in other users. So it was their users that actually did their marketing, because they were inviting their friends and they were inviting their, you know, their relatives. They were creating the content, posting, you know, pictures of the dinner they're having or whatever, the wonderful life that they live. But it was genius, because it sort of flipped the script a little bit, and it made the users the marketers. And so with MFG, we have, it's certainly not the size of Facebook, because it's not for, you know, everyone like Facebook is, but we can certainly see a lot of similarities and a lot of potential for us to try to build out that platform, where it begins to just suck in more and more users, and it begins to grow. And of course, it's the whole, it's the critical mass, that the more people they're using, the more people want to use it, because it provides value for so many people. So, you know, when you first start out, you're trying to create one particular thing, and you create that thing, and then sometimes that can be restrictive. You've got to sort of rework it so it can evolve and begin to, you know, take on a new life. And so that's kind of in general terms, that's sort of our strategy going forward into the future, is to make it where it can evolve and to bring in and to serve more and more kinds of people.
Well, you definitely got a strong endorsement from Michael on that. I saw thumbs up on that, users as your marketers. Michael, you seem to be a fan of that approach.
100%. That's what I teach. Foster loyalty and attract referrals. That's the key, right? You got to have the marketing arm. You got to have the referral arm. Absolutely.
And then, you know, say what you do and do what you say, right?
Correct.
Which apparently you're doing that in spades. All right, where can our listeners go to learn more? Let's start with you, Chris. What's the best way for someone to have a conversation or just go out and play around with this thing? Whatever's appropriate.
Yeah, anyone can go to mfg.com and register for free.
Okay.
And of course, when they get there, one of the first things that will happen is a chat window will pop up with someone asking if I can help you.
How cool is that?
So they can obviously jump right into a conversation before they do anything, before they, you know, sign up or give any kind of information about themselves. They can have a conversation. And again, anyone can sign up as a member. Mm-hmm. Of course, we have a full-blown marketing website. They can read all they want, all sorts of case studies. And there's a case study, of course, for DeShazo that is prominent. And then if they want to sign up and try it, if it's a person who wants to source for manufacturers, they can sign up. The account is 100% free. They can use the entire application for 100% free. So as soon as they sign up, they will hear from a customer service person who will walk them through creating a profile and help them understand the requirements of posting drawings to get their parts made. And then people who might be interested in it from the perspective of being a supplier, maybe a shop owner, they can sign up for a free test drive. In the end, if they want to participate in the platform, they do pay. That's where those are our paying members, but they can sign up for a free test drive, which allows them basically to see everything in the marketplace that pertains to them. If they're a machine shop, they could see all of the machining RFQs, and they can do that pretty much as long as they want to. So they can monitor what sorts of opportunities are there and decide for themselves, hey, this is the kind of work I want to do. Yeah. These are the kind of parts that I like to make. So I want to talk to someone about a membership. And of course, they'll easily be able to find someone to talk to them about a membership.
So a good starting spot is MFG.com.
MFG.com, yep. Just start right there.
And I don't know, you may be a little anesthetized to it, a little insulated from it at this point, but I don't know if you realize how unusual it is to have that level of immediacy and communication from this type of platform. I mean, we're a small business. We use all kinds of different softwares as a service. And I mean, to try to get a conversation with someone, I mean, it's really unusual.
Exactly right. Yeah. Well, we pride ourselves on that. I mean, I'm just old school when it comes to that. I think customer service is,
yeah.
very important.
All right, Daniel, what's the best way for our listeners to learn more about DeShazo?
Yeah, DeShazo.com, www.DeShazo.com. We are a manufacturer of custom equipment, overhead cranes, robotics for your industrial automated material handling needs. We are a full service provider for on-premise service. So if your systems fail, control panels fail, we have technicians throughout the Southeast United States that we can deploy and get you back up and running. And so that is www.deshazo.com.
That's exactly how Ryan was going to spell it, right, Ryan?
That's right.
So, yeah, I wanted to ask you, though, before we wrap this segment, how does the sales and marketing thing work for an organization like yours? Do you have people out, like, shaking the bushes, or do people call you? I'm not familiar with this industry at all.
Yeah, so we sales and marketing is not our focus. We have relationships, you know, I guess the traditional way. We have our best sales guys have been in the industry for 35 years, and they know everybody under the sun. That,
and what they drink and everything.
Yeah, that may need a crane or a robot. And so we rely heavily on those, on our outside salesmen to develop those relationships. But we probably do need to do a better job with marketing. And
I don't know. Sounds to me like you guys are doing great. I was just curious how that piece of it worked.
We have a YouTube channel that we have a couple co-ops that I've made go collect some drone content and put some videos together of robots doing things and cranes being welded and things of that nature. So check us out on YouTube, DeShazo Automation.
All right. And those coordinates one more time, the website.
www.deshazo.com.
Well, gentlemen, it has been an absolute pleasure having you in the studio this morning. This is it's exciting. It's invigorating. It's encouraging. And I like the fact that it just underscores how important and effective genuinely investing in the success of your customer can be. Put your resources there. The money will follow. And the more money you make, the more resources you'll have to help your customers more. I mean, it feeds itself, right?
Virtuous cycle. Absolutely.
Hey, can you hang out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure, absolutely.
All right, Ryan, you ready for the headliner, buddy?
Let's do it.
Headliner? Whoa.
Pressure is here. Well, wow, this is pretty impressive. Right at the top of the book, he's got an endorsement from Dave Ramsey. You know I'm an envelope guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
I do this for a living, but my wife has a real job, and when we get the paycheck, we take the money and we divide it up into all the envelopes. At any rate, Dave Ramsey's not here with us today. However, we do have with us author, speaker, Michael Mayer, and the book I'm holding in my hand is The 7 Levels of Communication. Go from relationships to referrals. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Great honor. Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Did you learn anything in that last segment?
I did. I'll tell you, one of the first things I learned is you need a referred by blank on your page. When they go there, the first thing they should put is referred by, because this guy's already a referral machine for you. not to pun the manufacturing part. But yeah, a coworker, who's the name of the coworker that referred you? What's the name? Do you remember his name?
Yeah, his name's Nicky Fox.
So his name? His name is Nicky Fox.
Nicky Fox.
Okay.
He's a hardworking employee. Don't think of any.
Yeah, all good. So Nicky Fox referred Daniel, and Daniel has already referred two brother-in-laws. So
we were tracking that at one time, but it just always said Daniel Drennan.
How many sisters do you have, Daniel? Maybe we can get some more brother-in-laws in on this deal. Yeah. What compelled you to write this book?
Well, I'll tell you, I was in real estate and had a real estate company, and I honestly didn't know we were doing anything special, generating 500, 600 referrals a year, until a guy by the name of Howard Britton introduced me to the world. He interviewed me, and similar to this, and he had a list of 100,000 people, and everybody wanted to find out how we were generating so many referrals, 500, 600 referrals, when the average realtor was generating 3 to 5 a year. So we were 100x what they were doing. I didn't even know. I was just doing what I do. And everybody would ask me questions about the house ring parties and the triangle of trust and the networking stack and these different things we were doing. But I would give them the system, but I knew that I was just giving them an answer, not the answer. So I knew I needed to write a book, but I was like a lot of people who know they need to write a book. I'd walk around saying I need to write a book, but didn't write the book. And then on December 18th, 2007, I actually flatlined. I actually heard my own heart flatline, and I died for 37 seconds. I was resuscitated. If you're going to flatline, you know, if you get nothing else from this show, just if you're going to flatline, do it in a hospital, right? So that's the word to the wise today. So I was resuscitated, and they wheeled me down to put in a temporary pacemaker. I had blood clots from a knee surgery, believe it or not, three in each lung and one that went through my heart. And, you know, that night in ICU in Olathe Medical Center in Kansas, I outlined the seven levels of communication and wrote the book over the next 2 years.
So you know, we've been hanging out with business writers a lot lately. Yeah. Me and my my business partner and usual co-host, Lee Cantor. And I think what we learned in talking with them is there are a lot of people who say they want to write a book. Almost everyone would like to have written a book. Mm-hmm. They don't want to actually write the book. So that was kind of a catalyst for you. Did some chapters come together easier than others?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and the you know, the quote I have at the very beginning of the book is, don't wait for a life-changing event to change your life, right? And it's one of those where these writers, don't wait for the heart attack. Don't wait for the blood clot. You know, write the book now. Go to the Business Writers Conference. Make it happen. And they're going to find the same thing, is that some of the chapters write themselves. And then some of the chapters are, wow, I've never articulated that in a way where I really want somebody to understand it. So you're going to have to even maybe verbalize it and have some people ask you some questions and record it so that you can learn how to articulate it in a way that it's really understood.
All right, let's talk through some of this content. Can you give us kind of the broad strokes, the 30,000 foot view of this thing?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the book on referrals, right? It's about referrals based on generosity and appreciation. There's a lot of tools of influence. There's social proof. There's commitment. There's contrast. There's a lot of if you read Influence by Robert Cialdini if you want those. But the two that we focus on is generosity and appreciation. When you act in generosity, when you give massive value first, what people tend to want to do is give back. They want to reciprocate. And so I teach how to teach people how to reciprocate. So act in generosity all day long. The old ABC is A, always B, B, C, closing. The new is A, always B, B, C, contributing. Always be contributing. Go and contribute. Go and give value. And then people are going to want to reciprocate. When they reciprocate, when they say, how can I help you? Or what can I do for you? The answer is referrals. The answer is referrals. When Daniel says, man, I'll tell you what, you've been great for my business. You know, how can I help you guys? The answer is referrals. And then you can tweak your answer from there. But the answer is referrals. And then the second one is appreciation. And this is probably the least written about tool of influence known to mankind. But it's one of those where, have you ever done something that where you went above and beyond for someone, totally went out of your way, but the other person wasn't appreciative? Sure. Now don't just think spousal here, right? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But okay, so how likely are you to do something if you went out of the way and they didn't even acknowledge it, notice it, or appreciate it, right? Have you ever had that happen?
Fool me once, right?
Yeah, right.
So, even opening a door for someone sometimes.
That's right.
They don't acknowledge it.
Yeah, buzz right through or just ignore it. And here's the thing. How likely are you to do something for that person? Like the lady who wasn't appreciative of you opening the door, are you going to open it on the way back in? No. And here's another thing. A lot of times there's two doors. You know, it's like, let her get the second one, right? So that's one thing. But let's flip it over. Have you ever done something that you just thought was who you are or what you do or part of your job, and the other person, the person you did it for, was so appreciative, they were just so genuinely and sincerely appreciative of what you did. Have you ever had that?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So how likely are you to do something for that person?
I can't wait to do it again.
You would run through a brick wall for an appreciative person, and that's the power of appreciation. If you want people to do things for you, appreciate the things they're already doing. And this is a very, very powerful tool of influence.
You mentioned a little earlier triangle of trust.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. So the triangle of trust is simply a way to get connected to people. So triangle of trust is simply like let's say somebody I know really well. Let's say I know Chris very well, and I want to get to meet Daniel, right? So I would, and you know Daniel very well. So I would have a conversation with Chris, and essentially, instead of the age-old mantra of marketing to strangers, trying to market to him, what I would do is I would build a triangle of trust. I would go to Chris. I would have a conversation. I would find out how I could add value to you, like what's your biggest challenge right now? What are your goals? And I would help you achieve your goals or conquer your challenges. Or if you like to drink beer, I'd get you a beer, right? So basically, and then you would go, Mayor, how the heck can I help you? And I would say, referrals. And then you would say, okay, what are you looking for? And I go, listen, here's the deal. I know you know Daniel over at DeShazo. I'd love an introduction. Would that be okay? And so you'd connect me to Daniel with DeShazo. And I'd just say, listen, would you mind just calling him and letting him know I'll be calling? And just, here's the deal. I'm going to treat him the same way I treat you. Is I'm going to see if he's got a challenge or goal I can help him with, and we'll take it from there. Is that all right?
He'd say, I'd love to introduce you. Unfortunately, I lost my phone after we drank all those beers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is there a chapter on alcohol in here? Is that
it's
part of the triangle.
Yeah,
of
just if you just do your ebook and change all words coffee to alcohol, it fits same perfectly. Deal. Right, there's a lot of coffee in there.
So let's talk about mediums or platforms. Yeah. And what I'm getting at is, you can do this in person. You can do it on the phone. You can do it via email.
Yeah.
First of all, is that accurate? And if so, can you talk a little bit about, maybe you have to adjust your tactics a little bit, or maybe not? I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you is that so the seven levels of communication, and here's the thing: is my publisher said to call it the seven levels of marketing and you'll sell like 50,000 copies. He said that he read the book and said, this is a great book. You'll sell 50,000. I go, no, it's not about marketing. It's about communication. It's about communicating with friends, not marketing to strangers. So I stuck with, now we're over, 300,000 sold. So we've done pretty well with it, but it's the seven levels of communication. The bottom three levels are advertising, direct mail, and electronic communication, like email, texting, things like that. I call the informational zone. So it's great for informing. It's great for even confirming. It's even great for introducing people. But it's not great for selling, convincing, or influencing. And then the middle level of the seven levels is handwritten notes, its own level of communication. In fact, I believe that the most powerful marketing piece that leaves a person's office every day is a handwritten note. And then the top three levels are phone calls, events and seminars, and one-on-one meetings. And the top level is one-on-one meetings. People will disclose to you in a one-on-one things they would never disclose if there was just one more person in the booth with you. So the top level is one-on-one meetings. So the top three levels, phone calls, events and seminars, and one-on-one meetings are very powerful because it's a two-way conversation and you can get feedback. You can change your message on cue almost. I call that the influential zone. And the influential zone is great for selling, convincing, and influencing. And quite honestly, if you're in sales or you're an entrepreneur, you should be spending 80% of your time in the influential zone. And a lot of people are calling where we're at right now the informational age. We're not. We're transitioning. We're going from the informational age to the influential age. And what we want to do is start communicating with the top three levels.
Now, you're a speaker as well, so you go out and you speak on these topics?
Listen, somebody's going to have me talk, I'm going to speak, right?
So yes. does it just naturally just flow from you, or do you organize specific kinds of workshops and stuff, or how does that work?
Yeah, so interestingly enough, I wrote the book in a fictional format, so it's actually a love story that even a guy could read, even if you're in manufacturing.
Is that like the tagline? That's good marketing. I like that.
Yeah, thanks. But what's funny is people usually read it the first time just to see if how it ends. Which guy gets the girl, right? So I wrote it in that type of format, and it's one of those where I'll tell you it's one of those. It's so funny. Is in December, the December after I wrote it, the book's 5 years old, but it's actually the sales are even increasing to this day,
which
is pretty unheard of.
Yeah.
But that December, a gal called me and goes, "Hey, when's your next event?" And I'm like, I'm looking at my wife going, "We don't do events. What's she talking about?" But in the book, I wrote about them going to an event and then signing up for coaching. Right. So and I go, where are you from? She goes, Des Moines, Iowa. And I go,
it's in Des Moines.
Yeah. I go, could you get about 100, 150 people together in like 6 weeks? And she's like, yes. And I go, you know what? Let's do Gen Des Moines in Iowa, you know, in 6 weeks. And she's like, oh my God. And so we did that. Then we went to Birmingham 6 weeks after that. And we had a room for like 175. We had 275 people show up. They had to move us rooms. The fire marshal even showed up. And then 6 weeks after that, we did a Gen Atlanta with over 350 people. We have a DC, by the way. You got to have a crane in DC. It's like, that is Crane City. There are so many cranes in DC. We'll have over 500 crazies at an event. We call them ambassadors. So yeah, so we do events, and then I also speak for corporations and then lots of real estate companies, lots of mortgage professionals. So on.
Sounds like great work to me if you can get it. That's a short moniker for what is it?
The Generosity Generation.
Generosity Generation. Yeah.
So the consumer started that. The consumer was no longer wanting to hear about number one, and they weren't interested in you overcoming their objections and being sold. People still want to buy, but nobody wants to be sold. So what happened is this is all this kind of more human and humane approach to sales developed from what I saw in the consumer. The consumer were more responsive to generosity and appreciation than they were to hardcore closing.
All right. Where can we get our hands on this book?
Thebookonreferrals.com, right? It's thebookonreferrals.com.
Well, nicely done with that.
Yeah, thank you.
How long you had that?
I have a little bit of a marketing background. I'm no CMO, but I've seen one today.
And coordinates for reaching out to have a conversation with you, learn more?
Yeah, so the number 7LSystem.com, 7LSystem.com. And it's funny how this ties into MFG.com is that, you know, Daniel's talking to the people and they're like, you know, can you get this done? The best answer in the world for a client ever when they've got a question is we have a system for that. Well, here's the deal. When it comes to your pricing, you have a system for that, right? They say, well, how, you know, can you do this? And it's like, yeah, we can. And we have a system for that. And the system is MFG.com, which solves the biggest issue in manufacturing, which is pricing. Sometimes the biggest bottleneck, the thing that takes the longest, isn't even making the damn part. So can you say that on radio?
You just did.
A lot of times it's honestly getting quotes for stuff. It's closing the loops so that you can take the next step. And that's what this does.
All right. So the coordinates one more time.
7LSystem.com or MichaelJMayer.com, but Mayer's M-A-H-E-R. It's spelled incorrectly a lot. So when I was in real estate, I had to come up with an acronym. It's Making a Home Everyone's Reality, which is cheesy as all get
That's
out.
Awesome.
Yeah, but it works. Yeah.
I like it. Well, you have made this so much fun. Thanks for coming and visiting with us, man.
Stone, you're the man. I appreciate it. And Ryan's good stuff, too. I appreciate you having me on.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Ryan Redhawk McPherson, our guest this morning, and everyone from the Business Radio X family, saying we'll see you in the fast lane.